Philippians chapter 1. And this morning we want to consider the verses 15 through to 19. What Paul experienced during his imprisonment, as we noted last week, had encouraged many of the brethren in the Lord to be much more confident and indeed courageous in their witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Not so much their preaching as their day-to-day conversation in speaking to others about the Lord. And what at first seemed to be a setback in the spread of the gospel, Paul's imprisonment had providentially resulted in the furtherance of the gospel. But the apostle in this letter addresses a particular issue that concerned him at that time. For there were those who sought to take advantage of his imprisonment. If you look there at verses 15 and 16, Paul says, some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. He referred to such individuals as mere pretenders. They pretend to be preachers of the gospel. They pretend to be preachers of Christ. He states that in verse 18. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense, or in truth, Christ is preached. The word pretense that Paul uses there means to make a show. It also can be translated a cloak. The Savior used the word when speaking about the scribes over in Mark chapter 12. There the Lord spoke about the scribes and how they were pretenders. In Mark 12 and verse 40, which devour widows' houses and for a pretense, it's the same word, make long prayers, these shall receive greater damnation. For a pretense, they make long prayers. They wanted people to believe that they were really holy and spiritual, when they were nothing of the kind. They were hypocrites. And the Lord said that they would receive a greater condemnation. In Luke chapter 20, we read there in verse 47, the same word is found, the word pretense. But in Luke 20 and verse 47, it is translated another way. Which devour widows' houses and for a show. It's the word pretense. For a show, make long prayers, the same shall receive greater damnation. It's the same word that Paul uses here with reference to those who pretended to be preachers of the gospel. They did it for a show. They They were not sincere. They were not genuine preachers of the gospel. So we can see that Paul was speaking about those who made a show of preaching Christ. They used the preaching of Jesus Christ as a cloak to cover up the real motives behind their preaching. But then there were those who were true preachers of Christ. Paul said there that some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some of good will. And again in verse 17, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. There were those who were pretenders, but then there were those who were true preachers of Christ. They preached Christ out of goodwill and truth and love. So Paul had these two parties surrounding him at that particular time when he was in prison. Those who were against him and those who were very much for him. They were of the same mind as Paul. They preached the same message. They believed in the same Christ. They preached the same gospel. So let us see how Paul handled this situation in this letter to the believers in the church at Philippi. First of all, we must take a closer look at Paul and his foes. Paul here refers to the two groups who are recognized by their motive for preaching Christ. One group, Paul says, preach Christ out of envy and strife and of contention, not sincerely. Then the other group, who like Paul, preach Christ out of goodwill and love. The first group we might describe as Paul's enemies or his foes. And they wanted to take advantage of the apostles' imprisonment. But the way Paul describes them, we can see that that first group that preached Christ out of envy and strife, Paul tells us that they were carnal. They were carnal individuals, fleshly. It is hard to believe that anyone would adopt this attitude against Paul, especially at a time when he was in prison. And they would go about preaching, but their preaching was out of hatred for Paul, out of envy and strife. They were carnal individuals. They were fleshly individuals. They were jealous. Envy means jealousy. They were jealous of Paul. They were jealous of his fame. Because you recall last week we considered Paul's bonds, his sufferings, in verse 13, so that my bonds for Christ or in Christ are manifest in all the palace. Everybody in Caesar's household knew about Paul and his bonds, his imprisonment, and how he accepted what had been given to him by way of this imprisonment. And there were those who were jealous of Paul. They were jealous of his ministry. They were jealous of his accomplishments. And they knew that it was as a result of his preaching of Christ. See, the Lord will always bless the preaching of Christ. He has to. Paul said that, as our text on the wall behind me states, Paul says, we preach Christ crucified. That was Paul's witness and that was his testimony, and God had blessed his faithfulness. And there were those who envied him. And they thought that if they preached the same message, they would have the same success. But this was not a message that they normally preached. This was not a message that they really wanted to preach. This was not a message that they had a burden to preach. They were not really interested in preaching Jesus Christ. It was not out of conviction, not by any means. Paul tells us that they preached Christ out of pretense, not sincerely. It was all a show. Paul said, one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely. The word sincerely means purely. It wasn't out of a pure motive. And the man who doesn't preach Christ out of conviction, with a burning and sincere desire to lift up Christ and win souls for the Lord, shouldn't be preaching at all. For that's how Paul conducted his ministry. But there were those in Paul's day who preached Christ even of envy and strife. It's interesting how those two things go together. Envy and strife. Where you have love, you have unity. Where you have envy, you have strife. Over in the third chapter of James. And there in verse 14. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your heart. Note, there's the two again, envying and strife. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, partners again, envy and strife, there is confusion and every evil work. And that's what this first group of individuals were about. Causing strife. Causing strife in the church at Philippi. And Paul knew that. And so in Philippians 2 verse 3 Paul says, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Paul didn't want this envy and strife to creep into the church at Philippi. And so he warns the believers there about it. But then we notice not only their carnality, but also their conduct. Speaking about the same group of individuals, Paul said they preach Christ of contention. Verse 16. Not sincerely. The word contention is an interesting word. It is a word that means to canvass for an office. It means to get people to support you. So you can see what this first group of people were about. In the church at Philippi, they were, as it were, taking on the mantle of the appearance of Paul as a preacher of Jesus Christ. But it was out of envy. And their desire was to lead away people from that church at Philippi and have a group of followers of their own. They were seeking to divide the church, cause strife in the congregation. They wanted to take advantage of Paul's absence. They wanted to take advantage of Paul's imprisonment. and thought that if they preached Christ, then people would follow them. You can see how carnal these individuals were. Remember, they had no real desire to preach Christ. They were not sincere. When they preached this message, they did it out of a carnal motive. When Paul preached Christ, it was to glorify Christ. When Paul preached Christ, it was to rob hell of souls. But the preaching of Christ by his foes was to promote themselves and gather a following for themselves. This reminds me very much of those today who use the gospel, for their own personal gain and self-interest. Many televangelists today appeal to their viewers to send in money to subscribe to their organization. And the people subscribe with their money. And send in their gifts to these televangelists who live in million-dollar mansions, fly about the country in their own private jets, and stay in $3,000 a night hotels. Charlatans, that's what they are. They're using the gospel for their own personal benefit. They're not using the gospel to promote the kingdom of Jesus Christ. They're not preaching the gospel to exalt the Lord. It's to exalt themselves. And this they do, all in the name of Christ and his gospel. Paul had such individuals in his day. Such things did not interest Paul at all. Over in the fourth chapter of Philippians 4 and verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And he was content, even while he was in prison, as we will see shortly. Whatever state I am in, therewith to be content. Paul believed in a sovereign God. And whatever state the Lord brought him into, then because God had allowed it, Paul was content. This was the will of God. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry and to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That's where Paul had his trust. Was in Christ. And having his trust and faith in Christ, he could do all things, whatever the circumstances. And all Paul was interested in, his whole life, from that hour on the Damascus Road, Paul was interested in nothing else but preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified. But then you notice their cruelty. You see how cruel these individuals were. Some indeed preached Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of good will. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. Supposing to add affliction to my bonds. We've already noted what their plan was. To infiltrate the church there, cause division and strife, and in the hope that they could lead away individuals out of the church at Philippi. And there was Paul in prison. And because he was in prison, he couldn't do anything about it. That would add affliction to his bonds. As the news would be brought to him, what these individuals were doing in his church. They thought that by their conduct they could grieve him, make him afraid of losing his people. Listen to how Matthew Henry puts it. Matthew Henry writes in his great commentary, "It is sad that there should be men who profess the gospel, especially who preach it, who are governed by such principles as these, who should preach Christ to spite Paul." They preach Christ to spite Paul and to increase the affliction of his bonds. Isn't it interesting? That at that time of Paul's imprisonment, the greatest opposition that Paul faced was from those who would claim to be preachers of Christ. In modern day terms, they would claim to be evangelicals. The greatest opposition to Paul came from evangelicals. And this reminds me very much of the early days of our denomination. When God came and blessing in the late 60s and 70s, and the number of our congregations doubled in a very short space of time. More and more people wanted a witness for the Lord outside the camp of apostasy. They wanted a gospel preaching church, a Christ exalting church. And so there was a rush to get halls, a congregation that could meet for this on the Lord's Day for meetings. And then there was a rush to buy property, to purchase pieces of ground, to put up a church, or even a mobile building. And I can testify to this because I was there at that time and saw it. But the greatest opposition to the spread of this denomination in those days came from so-called evangelicals. My, you would think they would be glad that another church was coming into the area, a Bible-believing church, a church that was separated under the gospel. You'd think they'd be glad. Many instances that was not the case. That was not the case. And there it was in Paul's day. Greatest opposition that Paul faced during his imprisonment at Rome came from those who would claim to be preachers of Christ. No wonder Matthew Henry said it is sad that there should be men who profess the gospel, especially who preach it, who are governed by such principles as these. They should preach Christ to spite Paul and to increase the affliction of his bonds. But thankfully, that particular group of people were in the minority. Read there in verse 14. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds. We noted them, studied them last week. Many of the brethren in the Lord took encouragement from Paul's imprisonment. I thought, well, if Paul was prepared to suffer such things for the cause of Christ, then the least we can do is to go out and witness for Christ too. Notice it said, many of the brethren and the Lord waxing confident. Verse 15 says, some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife. There were more who took encouragement from Paul's imprisonment, and there were those who opposed him. That leads us then to consider Paul and his friends. Paul had his critics. Paul had his enemies. That'll always be the case. When you seek to stand for the Lord and the crown rights of King Jesus, and you seek to preach the whole counsel of God, you'll have your critics and you'll have your enemies. So it was with Paul, but thankfully he had his friends as well. That is, he had friends. Those who became his friends because Paul was a preacher of Jesus Christ. That's what united them. That is what brought them together. That is what drew them to him. It was his preaching of Christ. We notice here their support of Paul. While Paul was in prison, he had friends on the outside who embraced the cause of Christ and did what Paul couldn't do. Paul had his liberty taken from him, his freedom. He was in chains. Paul, of course, was ministering away there in prison. But he would like to have been free, be on the outside, going everywhere preaching the word. He couldn't do that, but thankfully, he had supporters on the outside who did that for him. They carried on preaching Christ. They were, as it were, Paul's mouthpiece. The others had preached Christ out of jealousy and malice, but his friends preached Christ out of goodwill and love. Love for the gospel. That is what brought them together in their support of Paul. Each one had a love for the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is what united them. That's what bound them together. That's what ought to bind us together today. Our love for Jesus Christ and our love for his gospel. They didn't want to be associated with the jealous, spiteful, insincere crowd. They wanted to be associated with Paul. Turn with me, please, to 2 Corinthians 2. And what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2 would remind us very much of those who set themselves up as Paul's enemies in his day. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 17. Paul says, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. Which corrupt the word of God. Your margin will tell you the word corrupt there may be rendered deal deceitfully with the word of God. This was Paul's enemies were doing. They were dealing deceitfully with the word of God. Paul says, I have no part with that crowd. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity. What was it marked the other crowd? It was their insincerity. Their deceitfulness, their malice, their jealousy. Paul says, I have no desire to be part of that crowd that corrupt the word of God. But as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Or once more, the margin will let you know that those words, speak we in Christ, may be rendered, speak we of Christ. Speak we of Christ, and Paul says, I seek to speak of Christ and preach Christ in all sincerity of heart. That's how Christ should be preached, of course. Out of a sincere heart. A love for the Lord Jesus. A love for souls. My, when you think of Paul's ministry, and you read about his ministry, and Paul says, we preach Christ crucified. Paul's the kind of preacher I would love to hear. Paul's the type of preacher I would love to sit under. Paul's the type of preacher I would support. He preached Christ out of a sincere heart. And Paul had friends who supported him. If he had enemies who opposed him, he had friends who supported him. They supported Paul. Notice also they stood with Paul. For we read there in verse 17, speaking of his friends, he says, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. Isn't it good to know where people stand? Paul's friends knew where Paul stood. Knowing, he said, that I am set for the defense of the gospel. Again, Paul was the man that they wanted to be associated with. They wanted to support. They wanted to stand with him. Those of us who were in our Toronto church last week, listened to our brother Dr. Hubert Spence preach on this very matter, this very issue. We were there on Tuesday night and preached about the churches that used to be fundamentalist. They were fundamental. They separated from apostasy. And they gave themselves that name, fundamentalists. He says, as the years have passed by, many of those fundamentalists softened their approach to the gospel. Softened their stand somewhat. Thought it was too militant. And became neutral. They didn't stand for anything or against anything. They were just neutral. And he says then the next stage, from being fundamentalist to being neutral in certain issues, and they began to compromise. Sit down and have discussions with individuals and with churches that didn't believe the same thing. And they started to compromise. Find common ground. from the medalist and took a neutral stand on things, then compromised. He said the next step is apostasy. And they go right back to what they come out of. We need to stand today. We need to maintain our fundamentalist position. We cannot be neutral on doctrine, on the issues of the day. We must stand and preach and teach what the Bible teaches, whether it's popular or not, whether it draws a crowd or not. We need to stand as Paul stood and as those men stood with him. Paul was set for the defense of the gospel. Sadly, today many people don't believe in defending the gospel. And Paul felt there was a need to defend the gospel. And he was willing to defend it with his life. And there were those who were willing to support him. And there were those who were willing to stand with him. Because Paul, in spite of all the opposition, and all the compromise that was going around him, Paul was able to say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. I'm not ashamed. And believer, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And as we gather here today, we're declaring we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. So may God give us grace in these days of compromise and days of apostasy, in the days of a great falling away. Give us grace to stand up for Jesus. Ye soldiers of the cross, lift high his royal banner. It must not suffer loss. Whether we are few or many, let us stand together in the defense of the gospel. Now there was a time in Paul's ministry when he didn't have friends to stand with him in his defense of the gospel. But rather, Paul stood alone. It's all right to stand when you have a crowd around you to give you moral support. It's a different matter standing alone. And Paul mentions that day when he was called upon to stand alone. Over in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 16, there Paul said, at my first answer no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. Now it's interesting, the word in Philippians 1:17 that is translated defense, knowing I am set for the defense of the gospel, it's the same word here that's translated answer. At my first answer, no man stood with me. Or at my first defense, no man stood with me. But all men forsook me. All men, yes. But there was one who stood with him. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. Hallelujah. You take your stand for Christ, you can be sure He'll stand with you. You'll never be alone as long as there's a God in heaven. And as long as Christ is your Savior, and He always will be, He'll stand with you. And finally, you Paul and his faith. We read then in verse 18, what then? Paul's saying, in light of these things that are happening, in light of these insincere preachers, what then? What do we do? How does this affect me? Paul says, what then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. There's another example of Paul's contentment. No wonder the Puritan described Christian contentment as a rare jewel. Paul had found the rare jewel of Christian contentment. He was there in prison. Men were seeking to divide the work in Philippi, the work that he had established, a church that he loved. Was his crown and his joy. And there's Paul in prison, and he knows this is going on. How did he handle it? Well, we can see how he displayed his contentment. For Paul looked beyond the envy and the jealousy of those individuals. He looked beyond their jealousy and what they were about. And he rejoiced in the fact that even though they may have been preaching Christ out of pretense, Paul says, nevertheless, Christ is being preached. That's what gladdened Paul's heart. Christ was being preached. That will always gladden the believer's heart. For it is the preaching of Christ that saves sinners. It is the preaching of Christ that satisfies the soul. It is the preaching of Christ that sanctifies the saints. It is the preaching of Christ that pleases the Father. It is the preaching of Christ that puts a song in the heart. And Paul had a song in his heart, for he said, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. May we, like Paul, always have our priorities right. And say, brother, preach Christ. It's heartening. It's encouraging. When people come to church and the first question they ask is, do you preach Christ here? Rather than have them say, how many programs do you have here? No, their priority is Christ preached here? You can have all the programs of the day and not have Christ preached. And if Christ is not preached, all the programs of the day will do your soul no good at all. Because Christ is our bread. He's our drink. He's our life. He is our all. He was confident He was content and he was confident. Because he said, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation." Paul was the one who wrote those words. "For we know that all things work together for good. Them that love the Lord, those that are called according to his purpose." Paul says, "For I know that this shall turn." God is able to turn. God is able to turn the night into day. Whenever the enemy comes in like a flood, God is able to turn the tide. Paul knew that these things would turn to his salvation. He was confident of that. God was in control. So everything would be all right. And he was comforted. For we read, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." Paul was always comforted, always encouraged by the prayers of God's people. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 11. Here he's comforted and encouraged again. "I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer." He knew that God would answer their prayers. "Through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." Spirit of God is the comforter, is he not? The Spirit of Jesus Christ. Paul had the Spirit of Jesus Christ. That was seen and witnessed during his days in prison. That's the real test. You may show the Spirit of Christ when all is going well, but will we show the Spirit of Christ when things are going against us? Paul had a good supply of the Spirit of Christ. What a great man he was. Paul was a great man because he had a great Savior. And that's why he loved to preach Christ and him crucified. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let us bow in prayer. O Lord, we bless thee for the gospel of saving grace. We thank thee, Lord, for the gospel that is able to make men wise unto salvation. The gospel of Christ that is able to change lives, change homes. O gracious God, give us the power, greater power, in the days to come to preach Christ. For it's only the preaching of Christ that will build up believers, will save sinners, will restore backsliders, will change lives, and will change this town and this nation. O God, keep us at the business. Spare us long to preach Christ. Write the word upon our hearts. And help us, Lord, to live for thee. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away. Amen.